This is Lee Cantor with Stone Payton, and we have another episode of Disruptive Healthcare. Welcome, Stone.
Well, thanks for having me again. I always love coming down here on a Friday morning, and bright spot of my day, 200 Peachtree, 200 office, now has an espresso machine at the counter.
That's right. Maybe we'll come here more often now.
Absolutely. I'm going to start coming on Thursdays, too, because I'm thinking about going up to 2-3 days a week of working now.
Really?
Well, I mean, I'm entertaining the idea.
New year.
Absolutely. This is going to be a great show. We got our buddy Lynn Hood with Cracker Jack Marketing joining us. Welcome back.
Good to be here, as always. Enjoy these Friday mornings.
Yeah, it beats the heck out of working, doesn't it?
Work?
She doesn't know either.
I tell you, the treat today, there was no black ice on the highway, but everybody thought there was going to be. Traffic was awesome.
Traffic really was nice.
Right, as opposed to last week, if you remember, was a nightmare.
Last week was a nightmare. And then we get to do the HOV. What does that stand for?
HOV. High occupancy vehicle.
It was just a test. So we get to do that. That is my gift to Lee, that if I come, then we get to do the high occupancy vehicle thingy.
And, you know, it might even be worth it having you in the car.
So I thought we were going to do disruptive healthcare. Maybe we should do disruptive traffic. Patterns. Now, this is going to be a fantastic show. We have back in the studio, no stranger to the Business Radio X, Mike, a gentleman from Cool Leaf, Prem Bhatia. Welcome back, man.
How's it going, guys?
It's going well. What have you been up to since we talked to you last?
Disrupting healthcare. That's what we do.
So let's give our listeners, those who may not know at this point, a little bit of an overview. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Sure. So we are a company focused on the health and wellness space. What we do as our primary core business is we provide a platform for employers and organizations to plug into a great engagement tool for their employees, primarily to get them more engaged in health, have a fun environment. We bring in things like on-site yoga, on-site Zumba. We work with over 130 providers of these types of services, whether that's Operation Boot Camp or Zumba Studios, yoga studios around Atlanta. And we actually facilitate their entry primarily into the corporate space for increasing engagement and increasing employee engagement and productivity.
So that's the big hole. That's the problem you're solving is engagement. That's where it all comes together.
Yeah, and that's a vague concept for a lot of people, unfortunately. But I think, you know, where what we're actually getting more crystallized is the fact that this is a very important business, sort of imperative for organizations right now. The leading organizations, like if you look at Google, if you look at the top places to work, they've already adopted tools like this. What we're doing is we're basically saying, enough with the paternalistic wellness approaches where I know what I need to do and I get a result back and it basically tells me that I need to improve my health and it's a check the box type of thing. We need to actually get people to have more fun. And how do you get people to have more fun? Well, you ask them what they want to do and you give it to them. And that's what we're doing.
Now, Lynn, in the healthcare space that that you work in quite a bit, is there a lot of wellness initiatives like this, do you see?
There's a ton of wellness initiatives, and I think what Prem said was correct. What usually happens is that the organization comes in and says, if you're interested in wellness, we will assign you a nurse that you can call and ask questions of that you don't really want to talk to. We will do a test on you, and we will tell you what you need to do. But they don't ask employees what they want. And I one of my favorite things about Cool Leaf is that not only do you ask them what you want, you deliver things outside standard wellness. It's not just a step class or something. You actually have cooking classes. You'll have somebody come in and talk nutrition, right?
Yeah, so we've done a number of sort of healthy cooking demos and nutritionists coming in to talk about, you know, diet fads and what you really should be doing. So, you know, we do things like that all the time where it's not as necessarily hands-on and as intensive as like a step class or kettlebells or something like that, although we do those things as well. But we're really focused on, look, you need to be flexible enough for people. Like we're working with the law firm, for example, and there's a lot of folks that are, you know, not like you're, you know, 20 something, like going out there wanting to be active, but they do want to do some walking programs. So we're setting up walking programs for them. They did like the healthy cooking demo type stuff. So we're going to be setting up more nutritionist sessions for them and things like that. You know, the fact of the matter is they could go out there and do this on their own if they wanted to, but we have a platform that makes it a lot easier for them to do it and achieve, you know, their goals without HR getting too bogged down in this.
So it's employee driven rather than, so it comes from the bottom up
That's
and
right.
people decide what they want to do. You there's people that go climbing, rock climbing, right?
Yeah. So a large part of what we do is we actually not only ask employees sort of, you know, our process involves, you know, surveying employees and getting their feedback on things and then crafting a strategy around that, but also giving employees the ability to do their own things and bring in their friends to do it. So that's really kind of this whole idea of, I'll give you an example. There's a girl that wanted to get, she works at a marketing firm in Midtown. It's one of our clients. And she wanted to go do dodgeball. So, you know, if you guys have
dodge
seen
Dodge Rich, you can dodge a ball.
And so, if you've seen the movie Dodgeball, you know, it's a lot of fun, you know.
Love that movie.
But we were like, all right, well, look, you know, we've never done something like that, but we actually don't work with a dodgeball. You know, we set up provider connection with a dodgeball facility. You know, it's Sky Zone Sports up in Roswell. And we're like, look, these guys want to go. Let's set it up. She's going to basically go out there and invite folks. And it became part of their wellness program. They had a fantastic time, you know. So that's wellness sort of reinvented a little bit, right?
Now, when you're saying wellness for a company like that, you said just now that it expands beyond just the company. So does it go to their families as well?
Yeah. So, you know, what we do is we give them access to discounts across our large network of providers, and that's applicable for them and their family. So we encourage them to actually tell their family and close friends about, you know, this specific link that they have that gives them access to these discounts. So that's part of our program is, look, it's not just for you, it's for your family. And, you know, for these events, it's also, you know, if it's a group outing where an employee's putting it together, they've brought in people that are outside the firm as well.
Right, so, and that's okay.
And that's totally okay. And one of the things that we noticed was, like, here's the reality. Like, I don't like to do things necessarily on my own if I'm going to be, you know, kind of going out there and go do yoga, Pilates, or try something like kettlebells. But if my buddy's going or if a couple of my buddies are going,
you'll give it a shot.
I'll go. Right. Yeah. I'll go check it out. And so we noticed that about every event and activity we were doing. We're like, wow, people are bringing other people. That's a social way of doing things, right? Let's create the ability for them to do that easily.
Now, what metrics are the companies asking for you to keep track of?
So we're really honed in on participation satisfaction metrics right now. We're actually doing some analysis around some productivity metrics as well, because, you know, there's a lot of skeptics around the wellness space, and rightly so. You know, I mean, there's a lot of folks that look at this space and say, well, it's fluffy, it's kind of HR, you know, like, right. I don't really see the big
value. Let's hug.
Yeah, let's hug. You know, and so at the end of the day, though, it's what's really interesting, and there's some really interesting research that's been coming out around activities, using activities and using work time for activities actually leads to increased productivity for employees, which has a direct impact to the top line and bottom line. So, you know, this is an imperative that a lot of people are recognizing right now.
And are you doing your own research?
We are. So we're tracking some analytics around that. We're doing, you know, obviously statistics around, you know, productivity. We're trying to get to engagement metrics at a baseline, and then we're going to be looking at them at sort of point, one half point, and then 1 year point as well. So we're starting to get much more deeper on those analytics, and that's going to allow us to have some proprietary analytics as well around, you know, what impacts, what activities people have preferences around, what that means in terms of productivity, how you can adjust these things and tweak them accordingly.
So, Lee, this conversation is going to be right up your alley with the Dr. Fitness and the fat guy stuff that you're doing. This is we're right in your wheelhouse here.
Yeah. I mean, I've worked with a lot of people that are in this space and other shows we do. I mean, we do that Good Health is Good Business. It's all about corporate wellness. So we know a lot of people in that space. I'm curious, like, you're testing it here in Atlanta, I would imagine.
Yep.
And is it a challenge to I'm sure it's not a challenge to get the people that do dodgeball and yoga to want to play. Mm-hmm. But how do you see this scaling in other markets? Like, does that require you now to have boots on the ground in these other markets to kind of build those relationships?
Yeah. I mean, we're in the process of raising our first round of financing. We're actually about halfway through that right now. And what that's going to be able to give us is a lot more scale in terms of what we do in Greater Atlanta. There's a lot of room for this market in Atlanta alone. Mm-hmm. Atlanta is a relatively large spread out market with a ton of employers, right? With a ton of organizations.
What's the sweet spot for you from an employer standpoint?
It's been mid-size and we're getting larger now. So we actually just rolled out a program with DeKalb Medical for their 4,000 employees. We're also going to be looking at a number of larger folks that I can't talk about because it's still under sort of wraps. But
like at DeKalb Medical, where they have, you know, satellite offices all over, you're able to do things like that?
Yeah. So the trick is, you know, I think the real trick is when we look at retail, when we look at hospital environments, you've got folks that are not engaged on their health, that are actually like the worst types.
Right.
You know, so you go to a hospital, you're like, wow, what's going on here, right? So we actually have a real challenge on our hands with DeKalb Medical, but one of the things that we've been able to do is, you know, number one, ask employees. So we've been able to follow that methodology, which is very important for us as a baseline. But also then put together things that are flexible enough for them to come in and actually participate in. A lot of them want to do Zumba, so we're going to be doing Zumba. And we're going to be actually working with their online, on-site wellness center to
do
a lot of
this. So you're
going to
do the Zumba class at their facility.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be doing it at various campuses. We're starting our pilot out with three of their campuses, and they're relatively large, and then we'll be spreading from there.
And then what's that rock climbing wall going to look like?
Yeah, exactly.
How are you finding these folks and introducing the program? Are they finding you? You got some sort of formal marketing campaign or what?
Yeah, so we're going to be getting a lot more aggressive with that now that we'll have a little bit more bandwidth to work with in terms of the financing. We're going to be, you know, this year you're going to be seeing us a lot more out there in terms of, you know, some of the shows that are out there, some of the sponsorships and things like that. But a lot of it's been inbound so far. A lot of it's been, you know, our early clients referring us to other folks. It's been some of the relationships that our advisors bring to the table. And, you know, everyone's knocking down the door of HR right now, right? And that's a problem with wellness. And so we're actually taking a different tact on it. And we think some of it is turning into a bottoms-up type strategy for us, which is Pardot, which you probably know, which is acquired by Exact Target. They went out there and they used our system to put together team-building activity at Stone Summit, right? It was a lot easier for them to do that. And so we think there's a good niche there without getting into the HR type top-down approach to actually go to department and division level people and say, look, you're doing team building. You've got a budget already allocated for that. You can use our platform to do this quickly and easily.
Right.
So I think that's going to become a lot more of our distribution strategy instead. And we're going to have the top-down piece still there.
So, Lynn, what does a startup do to get seen early in the game and get seen and get a chance to have conversations early in the game?
Well, it helps to have a really terrific, unique idea, which, of course, CoolLeaf has. One of the things that they did and the way that I met the team at CoolLeaf was they got involved and applied for the Intel Innovation Award at the Health IT Leadership Summit this year. And so they were one of the four finalists. From that, they had a video made. They got to get up on stage, got a really nice plaque to put in their office. And so, but this gives them a certain amount of visibility. Being involved in the community, going to the places where your customers would gather is a really good idea. I could see for CoolLeaf, and I don't know if they thought about it or not, but going into SHRM, which is the health, the human resources group, and professional association, and becoming a member of something like SHRM. You want to talk to not people, you don't want to talk to the same people doing the same thing you are. You want to talk to the people you're trying to sell to. And so, and I think another thing you can do is put out press releases, which are one of my favorite ways to get your news out there. There's a lot of ways to get out there and push a press release without having to spend a lot of money. Advertising for a small company, especially early stage startup, very problematic. And I'm saying this coming from an advertising background, having done it for 20 years, it's very hard for a startup to do advertising effectively. Keywords might work if you can use Google and geographically do it. But the same kinds of thing, the CoolLeaf, getting out there, building a reputation, making the connections, and then the fact that they have an online social presence, which if you'd like to hear more about social media, you can refer back to our Tuesday show. I just talked about earlier this week about social media. For something like this where you look at it almost, I don't know if y'all are preaching yourself as Facebook meets wellness, but it's that kind of mashup that gets people involved, and so you start getting word of mouth. I will say that I talked to someone from Turner last week at a Technology Association of Georgia event, and they said, oh, we're very interested in health. They were looking at the health IT booth that we had. They said, we're very interested in this. And I said, do you know CoolLeaf? And they went, oh, yes, we're already in conversations with them.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
So the word starts getting out. So you build those connections, and you can do word of mouth for so long, and then you start to have to get kind of formal, especially when you move into new markets.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Now, you spoke earlier about having a board of advisors or have a group of advisors that are helping you and they're opening doors and they're, I'm sure, counseling you and your business in general. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit about how that happened and how you were able to get advisors on board and how you were able to develop a working relationship?
Yeah, sure. So it's one of the most important things I think a startup can do. You know, we're definitely not graduated from that quote-unquote startup. We're going to be a startup for a little while, and I think we want to be because you got to constantly be experimenting and iterating and quickly innovating on things. That's just the reality of the marketplace today. These advisors for us were really key in terms of opening some of the doors, in terms of getting us presence and also getting visibility into the payers. So these were folks that we'd either worked with in the past that we had a lot of respect for. They were people that had been referred to us. So they're folks like, you know, former chief medical officer at WellPoint, you know, someone who's leading up the efforts at Accolade, which is the top Inc. 5000 company. He's based here in Atlanta, but he spends a lot of time in Philadelphia, for example. There's folks like, you know, we're looking at that we've worked with before. Other entrepreneurs, we've got some folks on our advisory board that are other entrepreneurs that have been very successful. So they kind of bring their own little value. Like I think there's like, you know, each of them brings a unique value to the table.
But do you all get it together in a room?
We actually, you know, kind of do it in a, you know, more informal setting, keeping them updated. I think, you know, I think the whole idea that you can get, you know, folks that are really busy in the room.
Right, like 10 guys in a room, that's tough, a little tricky,
you know,
right?
It's tough. So it's a lunch here and there. It's a breakfast here and there. And
so it's kind of, you know, one at a time you meet with them as you have a need in their area, especially.
Keeping them updated.
Now, how do you compensate them, or they're doing this for just,
so we do.
You're a nice guy?
Yeah. They love us. No, it really is. I mean, it begins to be a look. They're doing this because it doesn't take a hell of a lot of their time, honestly. Number one, but number two, it's we're also working in some options into that equation. So there's some standard templates, like, you know, not templates, but there's some standard formulas that you use around what's appropriate for advisory compensation, mm-hmm. In terms of options. So,
but you don't give them cash. Okay, that sounds like you have to pay them a salary or to pay them a stipend to be part of the team.
I'd be really careful for any startup out there that's looking at an advisor that wants cash. You know, that's just a red flag, in my opinion. You don't go down that path.
So it's better to give them options based on your future success.
Exactly. And
that way everybody wins.
Right. People are senior enough and know, you know, have been around the industry long enough and well respected. They'll do it because they believe
they
in
believe
what you're
in doing. Your whatever and, you're working on, right?
And they're not going to ask for your money. You know, that's not their concern. Their money's not a priority.
Don't you think there's a certain community among the startups here in Atlanta that, especially around the technology area, that people do want to help out? They are willing to lend a hand.
Yeah.
And let's face it, if they're helping several different companies, not all of them are going to end up making those options worthwhile.
Right.
You first got to pick who you love. And secondly, you spread it out a little bit, and you're not going to have blockbusters on all of them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just like an angel investor, right? They're making a lot of bets, and they're swinging for the fences on all of them. But, you know, you spray and pray kind of deal is like a lot of what they say in the Silicon Valley area. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have that necessarily here in Atlanta, but you've got – as an angel investor, you're going to be taking chances on any early stage startup, and you're going to be doing it because you like the team, probably. So that's pretty much what it comes down to.
Speaking of team, who else is your – there are three founders.
Yeah, our other co-founders who are not here today, but John Duesberg and Sarwar Bhuiyan. They both came from – I worked at McKesson before with Sarwar, so I came from a healthcare background. And then John Duesberg worked with him at Availity in Jacksonville, so that's how we all kind of connected up.
Now, I have one more question for the board of advisors. Is that something you said you informally made throughout the year? Is that two times a year, four times a year, as, you know?
It tends to be quarterly, you know, because, you know, there's certain spurts during the year where we're like, look, it's going to be a little bit more than quarterly because we've got some, you know, right now, for example, you know, we're touching base with folks that, you know, our advisory, and there are folks that have been through the fundraising process and are connecting us into other folks and giving us, you know, letting us know about term sheets and what we need to be looking out for.
Right, because they're watching your back.
Exactly. So that's the type of thing where we have, you know, pretty ongoing relationship with some more than others.
Were any of them able to really open the door and get you like a client or somebody to beta test the...
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, some of our sort of the Kimberly Clark was a direct relationship from, you know, one of our advisory board members. And, you know, that was obviously a big marquee client for us.
Yeah, sure.
And
so having a board of advisors can really be game changing. Like if you were starting this from scratch without any board of advisor like connections, it would have been very difficult for you to get somebody from Kimberly-Clark to pull the trigger on this, right?
Right. And I think it's just, you know, hustling, honestly. It's like, you know, we didn't know every single one of our advisory board members just from prior work. These are some people that we reached out to that were, you know.
Strangers?
Absolutely.
You really?
Know, it was like, I really like what you've done. And, you know, I've got some insight into this article. Let's have lunch. Let's talk about it.
Wow.
They get some, you know, they understand that you're not a total idiot. So right. that kind of moves forward. And then
were they all Atlanta based or they could have been anywhere in the country?
It's been a little mix, actually. Some folks that are outside of the region as well, mm-hmm. that we kind of informally kind of consult with. They're not necessarily on the board of advisors, but right. they serve effectively as an advisory capacity, and they're actually investing in the company as well.
Right, same relationship where there's options, opportunity for options, or an opportunity to invest.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to give people upside on it. You know,
sure.
It's like you don't want to compensate for them for their time. You don't want to take a whole lot of their time either.
Right. Now, so that I would think was an instrumental part of your growth. I mean, you said that early on, the board of advisors is.
Yeah, the board of advisors is important. I think hustling and finding your own niche and actually getting out there and, you know, letting folks know what you do, and really getting out there and speaking with as many employers as we can, trying to, you know, getting more aggressive on some of the things that Lynn's talking about over this course of this year. It's
going
to be.
Was that going for awards? That was strategic on your part, too? You did that.
That was actually fine. I mean, it was just like we weren't really thinking, you know, it was just sort of we submitted. And we felt good about what we were doing, and
so you took a shot.
Exactly,
sounded good.
Exactly, and we're gonna be doing a little bit more of that this year. Yeah, absolutely, because it gives you legitimacy for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Before we went on air, you were talking a little bit about Tech Village. Say some stuff about that.
So there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's really exciting. I'm sure you guys know about the Cox Fund that came out.
Yeah, just
you know,
the other day, $250
million dollars being
that's
injected into
huge.
The – yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I think, you know, it's going to be great for the overall ecosystem. I think the ecosystem's actually turning into one that people are recognizing, and they're like, wow, you know, this could actually be a top-tier player here now, you know. And that's what Tech Village, to your point, David Cummings, obviously you guys know from Pardot and sold to Exact Target. He's starting a – beautiful. I mean, it's like they bought like the Ivy Place building, I think it's called. It's like it's got that big private bank on the top.
Right. It's Piedmont and
Piedmont Roswell or Piedmont and Lenox, actually.
Where the Georgia 400 dumps into Piedmont.
It's a great location because it's like really central. And so, you know, we've been scoping some stuff out there and checking out.
Right. They're making it very attractive for startups.
Yeah. We know a ton of like, you know, a lot of the guys that are there already, but it's pretty raw right now because they've got to do some renovation, but you got to have the vision. Like you look at a house and you're like, okay, I got to have the vision here to see how this is going to shape up, but it's going to be nice.
Is that the whole building? Does he have the whole building?
I think
building?
So. Yeah, I think he's got the whole building. So that's what you do. Nice little exit.
Well, no, good
I'll buy
for
a building
him.
Now.
Good for him. I mean, and he's giving back. I mean, he could have had a ski chalet, too.
Exactly. Sure, he has a ski chalet as well.
He has a bunch of other companies he's running, too.
Right,
it's not just the one.
Yeah. Right. So, one of the Sales Loft. Sales Loft, right.
Yeah, those guys are all there.
So you get something like right now you've got the ATDC, and I know every time I go down to the Synergy building on 5th Street, I always run into somebody I know.
Yeah.
And it's not that I know that many people. I just always run into somebody I know because you bring together and have that concentration of people, and you can casually bounce ideas off
But you
of
need
them.
That density, and it's exciting. And the Hippopotamus folks are down the street from ATDC, and then now the Tech Village.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where that serendipity happens, and you meet somebody that has a great idea, and you mash up, and all of a sudden you have a different company, and you just never know where it goes.
That's half the value of these, you know, co-working space, like, concepts, you know? It's like, you know, it's not just about, like, the space or the fact that, you know, it's just
Wi-Fi,
being about the community.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. Speaking of, you can get office space anywhere, right? So it's like, it's about the community.
Right.
And, you know, and he's getting creative with some of the pricing to make it more startup friendly as well. You know, making it a per employee per month type of pricing almost, you know? So that's actually really flexible for someone like us, you know? So I think it'll be a really exciting opportunity. And like you said, like it's Atlanta starting to get this ecosystem where younger entrepreneurs are coming into the system and actually plowing it back in.
Right.
And investing into other
startups. But that's where I think the challenge is for us as opposed to the San Franciscos of the world where if you're in a startup and it explodes and you now you don't have a job, you can bounce to another job in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And here there's not that – it's not that easy.
Yeah, I think it's getting a lot better.
It is,
you know,
getting,
I think,
better.
Especially in the healthcare space, right?
Right.
There is, you know, I know that space. Obviously, that's the space we're in. But like, I think it's getting to the point now where, you know, you can do a little bit of bouncing around here if you wanted to. Also, it's
right.
never, it's not going to be Silicon Valley anytime soon. But
right.
I think it doesn't necessarily need to be, though. You know, it's crowded in the Valley, right?
And right.
It's tough to get your name out there. I think it's
and
a
it's
little
affordable here. I'll
exactly.
Tell you that.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah, office space is a lot more affordable.
Now, can you talk a little bit about, you came from McKesson, obviously the biggest player in town in the space in general.
In the country,
in the world,
right. In the universe. Yeah.
So you're with them and you're like, hey, I got this idea. I'm going to just jump ship and then just follow this dream. I mean, that's
yeah.
You got to have a
he's a cliff diver.
Yeah. Your family on board with that? Everybody yeah, was like, "Yeah, great
yeah.
idea. Let's go for it."
It took a little adjusting, but now I think it wasn't like, you know, I have an idea all of a sudden, you know. And I think that's the kind of myth, is that, like, you know, all of a sudden it's like you get an idea and then you're like, I'm going to jump off. We actually put a lot of work into, you know, saying, what can we do part-time initially?
Right.
How can we scope this out? What can we do to prototype? What can we do to validate that there's a market here? What can we do to even validate that providers like health clubs and things like that are going to play with us? And so we started doing that. I was consulting for a while. I kind of transitioned out of the consulting gig then and then came in full-time and kind of put what with both feet, you know, in
right.
100%.
At some
now.
Point, you have to go all in.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's tough. I think it's tough for a lot of people that want to, you know, that they've tasted the other side. You know, and I think that's a lot of what, you know, investors actually look at is like, has this guy tasted the other side? Does he know what it's like to, you know, have that cushy, you know, corporate
right.
thing? And is he going to be okay doing this? And so I think that's like, you know, they need to get comfortable, and they've gotten comfortable. And like, you know, our lead investor has gotten comfortable with the fact that, you know, look, we're in this, and, you know, we have tasted the other side, but we're 100% committed now.
Right.
You know, and we've taken a huge risk, you know,
sure.
just like any other startup has.
Well, now let me play off that risk thing for a minute. But for a company that wants to use your program, it's not a huge risk, is it?
No, it's not, actually. It's something that they can do in addition to the traditional wellness that they may be doing. So we've got clients that do, you know, got traditional wellness companies that do coaching, you know, and biometrics and, you know, really focused in on the diabetics and hypertensives, you know, of the population, really the really high-risk mm-hmm. population. For us, we've actually been able to come in at a, you know, relatively low price point for them and basically come in and engage their employees into health and wellness and make it more fun. And it's really about the engagement side of the equation. So it's a very sort of lower risk proposition for them. It's and we've heard it's a no-brainer from some of our clients, which is really nice to hear.
Yeah.
We'd like to hear more of that. But, you know, it's – I think that the challenge is – prioritizing, right? And saying, look, this is a priority for us. And so if you have a forward-thinking individual that recognizes that culture is very important for them and why culture is important, why engagement's really important, you know, you're halfway there in terms of the battle. In terms
now,
of
is your early kind of in at these places, these events, like you do a one-off mm-hmm. event and then you kind of get your foot in the door and then that kind of there's some mission creep in there and you kind
yeah.
of get your way
yeah.
in there?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that we try to do is really have a kickoff event that is, you know, going to resonate with employees.
Right.
So after we've done, you know, gotten a pulse on employees, in some cases they may have an existing survey that we can use. In some cases we're doing our survey alone, you know, like on our own. But we're getting that kickoff event going and they're like, wow, what was that? You know, like I didn't
like
even,
what's an
I
example of
that.
What happens on a kickoff event?
So, you know, like the healthy cooking demo that we talked about, right?
Right?
For an employer that we rolled out with in Midtown just recently, you know, that was their kickoff event. And, you know, it's actually like, you know, it was pretty good attendance, but it was more of like the word of mouth that like they missed it and they were
right.
like, oh, wow, I didn't even know about this. I didn't know
right.
we were doing this now. And so then you get the word that kind of starts creeping around. And it has to percolate inside the organization. Some of them are going to get, you know, be aggressive like right off the bat. We've had most of our events like sell out within an hour or two of actually being published.
So you limit it.
Yeah, we limit it. And
right,
that's
so
the key.
So it's not just
right.
open for whoever
exactly.
shows up. It's
yeah,
like it's the first 50 or 100 or whatever.
15 attendees,
right.
you know, 20 attendees, whatever it might be. So, you know, that we've had some success there. But I think it's also like, you know, it's got to percolate inside the organization.
Right. And because you got to know that you missed out. There
right.
has to be an element of.
Right.
Well, next time I'm going to go.
Exactly.
It's not like I can always go whenever I feel like it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And so, and going back, thinking back to the traditional models of wellness within organizations, you're not talking about a once a year, every 2 year health fair,
right,
where everybody comes and you get your finger pricked and you get your blood pressure taken. You know,
we've been to a bunch of health fairs because we're actually asked to, most of the employers that we were, they're like, well, we're having a health fair. We literally, like, for DeKalb Medical, we've done three of them now.
You have like a table and you're handing them a brochure.
Exactly. And I think health fairs are like, I know what I'm doing when I go to health fair. I'm like, oh wow, I can get an iPad if I get everyone to sign off on this thing. I'm gonna go check it out.
I want to go to that one.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a raffle drawing, whatever. But it's fun, and you go out there and participate. We're one of the vendors that'll be part of the health fair. But our sort of participation goes well beyond just one health fair, for sure.
Before we wrap, Lynn, let's get an update on the Metro Chamber, Health IT Group, SEMDA. What's going on in your world on that front?
Well, thank you very much. I do have to point out that SEMDA is going to be holding its annual conference. That's the Southeastern Medical Device Association. We'll be holding its annual conference on February the 19th and 20th. I don't know their names yet. We have a terrific number of companies that have applied to be presenting companies and go for companies that are both medical device as well as the medical device systems that manage. So we have a certain amount of IT involved with it this year. They're also, because they're being regulated like FDA, we've invited them over to play in our playground with the investors. And so we're announcing... Sneak peek. You want a sneak peek of the news that come out on Monday?
Sure.
President of TEDMED is going to be speaking.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
So we also have him. We also have the head of the FDA, Dr. Jeff Shuren, and we have a senior vice president of Medtronic coming to speak, Pat Mackin, and we have Mark Leahy, who is the president of MDMA. And so we've got this terrific line of speakers. We have learning programs throughout the day. It's going to be great. Very affordable. SEMDA, SEMDA.net. Very affordable to attend right here at Georgia Tech. So that's coming up. There is a legislative a meeting down at the state legislature next week with the TAG Health Group, tagonline.org, to sign up for that, where we will be explaining to some of the legislators the importance of health IT in our community. Now, you think about it, we've got, the last I heard from the Metro Atlanta Chamber, 28,000 people employed in health IT.
Wow.
So we want to make sure that the legislators understand this and that the actions they take help continue to grow this area.
Good stuff. And Cool Leaf, one more time, website?
CoolLeaf.com, CoolLeaf.com.
And then there's stuff there for if you're an employer and an employee, right?
Yeah, we've got, as every startup, we're always revamping, but there's on the footer, you'll see some stuff around employers and what we're doing there. So, yeah.
And does it include upcoming events and things that are out there, like if I wanted to participate?
Yeah, if you log in, then you can actually see some public events that are available. Mm-hmm. So if you create a user account and you log in, you'll be able to go upcoming events and see some of the stuff that we're doing publicly. And then if you're part of an employer, you'll see your private events as well there.
Cool. Well, all right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and another episode of Disruptive Healthcare. We will see you all next week.